Well, we are in a series here called Growing Up in Christ. It's the book of James. We are going through line by line, verse by verse through the book of James, and it is loaded to bear. I guess that's a good hunting term right there. And it is fairly serious and pretty heavy. I've been challenged through it. And so far, again, we try to review a little bit. Let's shrink down the things we've learned into a couple of chapters. Chapter 1, a mature Christ, one who grows up in Christ, we learn that they have patience in troubles. As you mature in Christ, as you grow up in Christ, you should have patience in troubles. Chapter 2 talked about practicing truth. And what is the truth? This. How do you practice this thing if you don't read this thing, if you don't live this thing? But we covered that in chapter 2 with a couple of weeks as we went through that. Now we're into chapter 3, the tongue. Oh, this is going to be fun. And we'll be looking at the power over the tongue, that there is power over the tongue. So that's what we've been going through so far, and we will continue here today. Today, though, is tough. I mean, we are hitting this scripture on the tongue, and I knew weeks... This is real. Chapter 3 is probably what most people remember of the book of James and what he talks about. And for weeks now, I'm like, okay, what, Lord, are you going to speak to us? How do you want me to articulate this? And I was having difficulties. Monday, I prepped, and I had a bit of an outline. I'm like, it's just, I'm not sure what this is. I didn't know what to do, but I knew the Lord, you know, is just, God, we got to get this done by Sunday. So, you know, I knew he comes through, and he always does. And I had a sense at the beginning of a different perspective. And it wasn't really until Thursday that something happened that I'm like, yeah, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is going to be a little different today. Today, you are getting a 2-for-1 special. You don't have to tithe twice. It's okay. But if you want to, you can. 2-for-1 special. We're gonna cover two messages, and the first one is really just kind of the overview. If you got your notes, and we're gonna go through this quickly. Hopefully, I can do it in about 10 minutes. And you're looking at the notes, and some of you people are reading notes and go, "I think Pastor made a mistake. It's got all the answers in it. You know, he printed off the notes." How many of you thought that? You're like, "Dad, that pastor goofed up." I don't make mistakes. Okay, just come on, just figure that out. I'm intentional. Everything I do. Because we're going to fly through kind of the overview. And that's why I saved you some time. But then we're going to drill down. We're going to dig in to something that I think God kind of has laid on my heart and try to articulate something that we need. And so we're going to kind of get a 2-for-1 here today. So if you have your Bibles, usually we read a verse and dig into it. If you have your Bibles, let's go to verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation, James chapter 3, verse 10. We'll pray and we'll dig in. "And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today you speak to our hearts, Lord, because our lips are showing off. Our tongue is showing off. And what it's showing off is what's in our heart. And Lord, with the same mouth, we bless and we curse. And Lord, I know this makes your heart ache. And so I pray, Lord, today you reveal to us our nature. We know what your nature is. And Lord, we need to see who we are. And Lord, I pray you bring change today in our lips, in our hearts, in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So here we go. Let's see if I can do that micro machine guy. You remember that back in like the 90s? He talked real fast. Let's see how fast I can do this sort of thing. So we're going to talk about, the title for the message today is "The World's Smallest but Largest Troublemaker." Some of you have that child in your house. They're the smallest in the house, but they're the, anyways. The first thing, and that is the tongue. The first thing is the tongue has the power to direct. 1-4, verses 1-4. "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we will make many mistakes, For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Verse 3, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And so James calls the tongue, compares it to the bit and the rudder in our reading there in verse 3 and 4. But he also brings up this subject that everyone wants to teach. And in his time frame, that's the early church was exploding. And everyone wanted to work for the church. Everyone wanted to be a teacher. And I think this still applies today. I think everyone here actually wants to teach. Now, many of you were like, yeah, no way. There's no way I'm going up there and doing what he does. I don't want to do that. But tell me this. Have you ever heard a message or been in a church, either here or elsewhere, and went, I would have done that differently. I could do that better. We have this concept where we'd like to take control because we think we could maybe do better. And that's what James is dealing with. But he says we live at a higher standard. And we'll pause on this and let me talk about that for a second. Because in this role, we make mistakes. I make mistakes. I made a mistake last week. And I had a dear brother here come up to me and say, Pastor Jason, you said, and I'm confused. And as you know, I follow notes. I believe the Lord speaks to me. I put down the path. He refines it, and I follow the notes. But from time to time, I hop off the notes. And last week I did that. I don't know if it was during worship or if it was during the message. But I think I was, as I was praying, I said, I wanted to be surrounded by people that lay on hands, not those that want their hands laid upon them. What was I trying to say? I want us all to be ministers. But it could have been taken because I didn't think about my words as clearly as I could. It could have been taken that Pastor Jason doesn't want to pray for me. Pastor Jason doesn't want to put his hands upon me, which is untrue. But I didn't articulate it well, and it brought confusion. And so a dear brother, with love and graciousness, asked me to clarify. And I taught last week that when we are faced with things like that, we need to receive it with humility and repentance. And that's what I do. You don't want to be in this role because this thing can get you into trouble. It can bring you life. It can bring life to anyone. But James is saying, we're held at a higher standard, and we are. I've got to be so mindful of our words. James also connects how the tongue and the body are connected, like a rudder and a ship. They are connected. And then he says, a strong hand must control the bit and the rudder. And this is where I was going to grab my guitar, and I was going to play a country version of Jesus Take the Wheel. Okay, and then you guys would be like, okay, all right, I understand this, but alas, we don't have the time. Point number two, the power to destroy. The tongue has the power to destroy. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the other parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. And so, first he talked about bits and rudders, and now it's fire and animals. These are the comparisons. And what does fire and the tongue do? Fire spreads. When we take a lie, it spreads. Fire destroys. That's what lies do. That's what our tongue can do. It can destroy. He also says it's restless. It wants to do something. We want to talk. We want to have these conversations that may not be healthy. And the thing that jumps out to me is also it seeks prey, like an animal. Our tongue seeks prey. And then he makes a statement. You cannot tame the tongue. You cannot. And that's where I was going to grab the electric guitar, and we were going to do a rock version of Jesus Take the Wheel again, because he's the only one that can tame the tongue. But alas, we don't have time. Point number three. The tongue has the power to delight. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, You can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. And so now he compares the tongue to the fountain and to trees, and this is a good thing. It can delight. Our words, our tongues should be able to refresh people's spirits and souls. A fountain is contained. Our tongue must be contained. A tree can provide shade, protection for others. That's what our tongue should do. And a tree, its roots go deep. That our tongue should be rooted in the word, which goes deep. But ultimately, the problem, though, isn't the tongue. It's the heart. Matthew chapter 12, 34, which is out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that was going to be my message today. It was going to be excellent. It was going to be the best message you ever heard. You were going to laugh. You were going to cry. You were going to love the music. And you were going to tell all your friends. It was the most incredible message. But God had a different plan. But I give you the notes. You take them home. You can dig in a little bit more. That's kind of the overview of this section in our teaching and understanding. But as I read this week, there was just a verse that jumped out at me that I spent really all week, God, how do you want to articulate this? How do you want to speak this? And I think God has a word, because we can go from what we've been doing most of the time as we're going through James is kind of an overview understanding. But this is a portion of scripture that we must apply. Because if you don't apply it, what you're doing is destroying you and others. And so God, change us. I want more than an understanding. I want a change in my heart. And so the scripture that jumped out at me was verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue other than Christ alone, God. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. And this is what I want to talk about. And I have an image to describe. Here's what I want to talk about this week, if you put up. There it is. That's what I want to talk about this week as we talk about the tongue. Kids are like, okay, that's our coloring. Why did Pastor Jason always does like those Bible pictures, but why did he do a monkey? Yeah, because that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about a monkey today. Should we talk about a monkey? This is the slow loris. It's a monkey, primate or whatnot, but it's got the term slow. How would you like that to be your title? Hi, I'm Slow Jason. Why did they call you slow? Just give it a little bit. Is Pastor saying that we're all slow? No, but if it applies, we'll just see how it goes. This is a slow loris. It has sloth-like movements, so that's why it's called the slow loris. Doesn't it look cute? Right? Doesn't it look innocent? Like y'all in this place. The thing about a slow loris, though, is it's deadly. That is a deadly creature right there. You see, the slow loris has a sweat gland on their arm. And that sweat gland is toxic. Parents of any teenage boys, you know all about toxic sweat glands, right? I have no experience with that. I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking. They have a toxic sweat gland. And what they do when they feel threatened is they lick that gland, and then their teeth have these grooves in it. And so then when they bite you, they take that toxin, that venom, that poison, and they put it in the person they are trying to protect themselves from. And it can be deadly. And what's really interesting is it can be more toxic, more deadly, depending upon what their diet is. Depending upon what they consume, their mouth can be more deadly. Now you're like, okay, now that's why we're talking about a monkey. I want to talk about venom. I want to talk about poison. Our tongue is full of a deadly poison, and it's not cute. And as we read from James, you cannot tame it. And our tongue is deadlier dependent upon what we consume. So let me ask you, cute little monkeys, what do you consume? What is your diet? What do you ingest with your ears and your eyes? What is your diet? Idle chatter? Just Just random chit-chat? Is that what your life is full of? Is just meaningless conversation? Is that what you are drawn to? How about lies? Is that what you consume? Hear me, without fail. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Newsmax, ESPN, Fox Sports, I don't care. Lies. It is not this. If it is not this, it's lies. Things are being covered and misstated and misquoted at an angle. That's what we consume. Social media. Lies. That picture isn't real. It's not genuine. And yet we go to this source over and over again to consume lies. Why? We'll get to that. Do you consume hurts? Have you been hurt? Has someone hurt you? Do you listen to other people that talk about that person because they've hurt others? A subject, an issue? Do you consume hurts? Gossip. Tidbits of information. Do you like to consume gossip? Church, it should not be so. So we're going to do we haven't done this in a while, not in this series at least. We're going to do a scripture blitz, as I call it, just a bunch of scriptures. James has set the stage. But what does the Bible say about it and other things about the tongue? You go to Proverbs, and there's a lot there. But there are a lot of scriptures out there that talk about the tongue and what we need to do. And so we're going to go through a bunch of these verses and see what the Word has to say. So Psalms chapter 42, verse 10. David says, "Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours?" Remember what we learned in elementary school? Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You all know that's a lie, right? Words hurt. Words can be devastating. They go to our heart, and from the inside out, we are broken. Have you ever received someone has spoken a harsh word, a lie, a taunt, an untruth to you, and you sit there and you take it? Maybe you come back with a great retort of, yeah, but your mom was whatever, you know. But you take it, and you're tough. And then you go home and you chew on it, right? You listen to that word. You begin to analyze it. You begin to agonize over that word because it hurts. I've told you this story many times. When God spoke to me as a senior in high school to change my degree, I had to go to the guidance counselor to say, I need to give up these scholarships. I need to give up this stuff that I have, and I want to be a pastor. And she looked me in the eyes and said, "What a waste." And I took it. And I remember I left, and I was walking down the hall. I can still remember where I was in the hall at Shell Lake High School, just outside the library. There was nobody in the hallway, and I all of a sudden stopped because all of a sudden those words started ringing in my ears. And I go, am I a waste? Am I making a mistake? And all of a sudden I just felt that, ah. And that's when God spoke to my heart, and he dispelled the lie. You see, that's what words do. And we consume them, we bring them in, and we hang them on here. And if we don't take the light of the word, if we don't allow for God to shine on our hearts, these words that we've consumed, it's going to destroy us. Proverbs 18:8. Rumors are dainty morsels. The Message Bible says cheap candy. Dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Sam's Club's got it figured out, okay? I think Walmart, they might do it as well, but I love cheesecake. And they do like this big platter of cheesecake, right? And then they do this brilliant thing. They cut it into 1-inch cubes, right? And they put it in a little packaging. And so if you're at some family gathering like Thanksgiving, there's this tray of all these different types of cheesecakes in 1-inch cubes. It's beautiful. And you take it, you open it up, and you pop it in and go, oh, cheesecake. And then you're like, wow. I'm not full. And then we get to our New Year's resolutions in January. They're delightful. What are they? They are dainty, bite-sized morsels that we consuming. And that is what gossip or rumors are. We crave it. It's just a little piece of information. Someone has it, and you're like, yeah, can I have one of those? And you pop in one little piece of information, and then you're like, oh, I want to know more about this. And a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And then we are sick to our stomach. We crave this. We desire this. We go up to someone and say, did you hear? That's how we started. No, I didn't. What else have you heard? You know what I heard? Pick the subject. Pick the person. This is what we do. And we want to keep on going back and forth, exchanging information about said subject, about said person, because they're dainty, bite-sized little pieces of gossip, of rumor. And sometimes we are more attuned to certain people or subjects, maybe that have hurt us. You know, you hear a couple of people talking about a certain thing, a certain subject, and you're like, I like cheesecake. And you dive into it. That's how we are. That's our nature. That's our desire. Proverbs 16:28. Nobody's going to eat cheesecake this Thursday. They're going to be like, Proverbs 16:28. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. This is a picture from Jesus. James, his half-brother, probably heard this message that Jesus would talk about what you sow, you will reap. We understand this, even if you're not a hunter, you understand this subject. But sometimes we don't live our life that way because we are planting strife in other lives with our lies and our gossip. By giving, hey, did you hear? And we share some information. We are sowing lies. What are you going to reap? It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy others. You will reap what you sow. But there's that second half of that verse. Gossip separates the best of friends. Has anyone here experienced that? Either your friends, or your spouse, or your parents, or your kids, your siblings, cousins, your friends. Something was said, and then it blew up, and there is a separation. Have you been separated from someone by mere words? It separates the best of friends, and it hurts. And we think about that person, and our heart hurts. But sometimes we think, well, that's really what gossip does. It separates best friends. But what if I talk about someone, you know, that I don't know? So let's talk about Trump or Biden. There we go. Let's have a little conversation. If we talk about that, you know, and maybe there's some half-truths or a little bit of gossip, well, it's not like I'm hurting my relationship with them because I don't know them. They don't know me. What does it hurt? Well, that's an interesting concept. Let's see what Titus has to say. Paul is writing to a preacher, a pastor, Titus. He's writing to me, in essence. And this is what he says, chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. Pastor Jason, remind the believers at Grace Community Church to submit to the government and its officers. You think we have a bad? Try living a first century Christian in the Roman Empire. Yeah. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. Verse 2, they must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. Just because I don't know the individual does not give me the right to slander them, to talk bad, to talk evil about, especially government and its officials. Oh, that's hard. That is hard. We need to show respect in our language to everyone. People we know and people that we see on a screen. That is our duty. And it says, avoid quarreling. Yeah, let's talk politics without quarreling. How does that go when you're amongst a mixed crowd of people, okay? Some of y'all are going to sit around Thursday with, your brothers and sisters and in-laws and outlaws and all that stuff. And you know it. You know that one person is going to bring up a subject that they always bring up, whatever it is. And what are we going to do? We're going to quarrel. We're going to argue about it. Yeah, but what I heard was, this is what I read, this is what I saw. You're going to sit down to that table. You're eating the turkey, a little gravy on that stuffing, and you're eating it, and then John over there starts in. And instead of grabbing the napkin, you start licking that sweat gland. You start baring your teeth. And you just want to bite into them. Inject some truth. That's what you need. This is the truth. And you know the outcome of that. Avoid quarreling. Thanks, Paul. That's a little easier said than done. How about Jesus? What does he say? Matthew chapter 12, 36. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. There's that courtroom person following you around everywhere you go, recording every single thing you say. And you are going to give account for that. Because what comes out of your mouth is showing what's in your heart. And the accuser is able to throw up that transcript and say, I can tell you exactly what's in this person's heart. Oh, they may say, Lord, Lord, but this is their heart. You will be held accountable for every word. And I like what it says, idle word. Every idle word. What's an idle word? It's a lazy word. Church, you are lazy with your words. You're lazy. I always get a kick out of being in a conversation, loud fellowship, loud conversation between two individuals that like to spice it up with swear words. Because every like fourth or fifth word, they throw in like a swear word. Because that adds meaning. It makes it stronger by throwing this in. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. You're lazy. You have no argument and you're trying to make it sound important because you're using idle words. They're lazy words, people. How much of your dictionary is full of lazy words? Jesus, in John chapter 12, verse 49, I don't have it on the screen, tells us, this is Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. He says, I only say what my Father says. And he is our example. Do you? Is that how you speak? Someone asks a question and you pause. And then you speak. First time I met Pastor Ken, my wife and I, Kaylee was still in a car seat, like the little ones here. First time I met Pastor Ken at it was a restaurant here that doesn't exist anymore. I was astounded by how you would ask a question, I'd respond, and then when I was done, he would sit there. Pastor Ken was the preceding pastor here at Grace Community Church. And he'd pause, and then he'd speak. He was so slow and deliberate in his speech, and I appreciated that. Do you pause before you talk? I think the answer here is probably about 96% no. What does God say? Say what he says. Because your words are destroying, they are poisoning yourself and those around you. So, Pastor, what can I do about it? Proverbs 20, verse 19. A gossip goes around telling secrets. So don't hang around with chatterers. First thought, you can put this in your notes. Number one, stop hanging around gossips. If that is your source of your diet, you know the people that have idle chatter and they just have information, and you go to them, you like to listen because you're going to get some good dainty morsels. Stop hanging around gossips. It's the source that is your first problem. This needs to be your source, but your source is the wrong thing. It's the wrong person. And if everyone here applies this, and you're a little concerned in about 3 or 4 weeks, Pastor, people just seem to be avoiding me. Well, maybe you're a source. Stop hanging around chatterers, gossips. Second thought, Proverbs chapter 11, 13. Tell me if this is similar to the previous one. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Second thing you can do, learn to keep your mouth shut. Is that simple enough? Does God want you to say that? Do those words show love? Are those words honorable? No? Then put some more mashed potatoes in your face. Keep your mouth shut. That's a good start, because this is getting us in trouble. Learn to be silent. Learn to keep your mouth closed. Don't let your tongue prove your heart. Third thought, Ephesians chapter 4, 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. I'm sorry, did that say everything or just a few things? I think it says everything. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. Thirdly, change your language. Church, change your language. Matching up 2 and 3, you can't take a vow of silence, okay? You're going to be some monk and you're going to keep your mouth shut. That doesn't do it, because it's still in the heart. You're still consuming. You're still thinking. Those thoughts are still evil towards people. You're just not using your mouth to do it. No, you have to change your language. Your heart is still wicked. You still have perverse talk. Church, it should not be. Perverse jokes, perverse conversations. Let it not be. Change your talk. As I said before, swearing. It's idle, lazy conversation. Change your language. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to speak good. Encouraging, loving words. How do I do that? Well, first, it's by consuming the Word of God, not words of gossip. It's a diet change. Be a good little monkey. Change your diet. Okay? But what else can I do to speak good? Is that even proper English? Speak well. Is that better? When you are hurt by someone, bless them and pray for them. That's a good first one. Because you are, have been, will be hurt by people's words. And the first response should be to bless them, to pray for them. David, I really think I need to pray for you right now. It's just no. Yeah, the church starts praying for everybody else. Why do you keep blessing me? What am I saying? What am I doing? If someone hurts you, bless them, pray for them. It changes your heart, because that's what the Word says. When you think that God is testing you, praise Him and rejoice. We started the book of James with that. Rejoice through the trials. Is that what we do? No, we complain. We bring up how bad God is at His job. Praise God. Rejoice in Him. When possibly your child makes a mistake again, encourage them. Gently teach them. Parents, change your language. Because you're crushing some spirits when you could be encouraging them. When your spouse bugs you, hug them. Give them a kiss on the cheek and say, I love you.
Oh, Pastor, my husband told me he loved me about 18 times this week. You're bugging him.
When your family member offends you, and some of you have a countdown timer to Thursday knowing it's coming, when your family member offends you, forgive them. That's a big one. That changes your language and it changes your heart. Forgiveness, because what you have in your heart is bitterness and it's poison. It's venom. When your pastor confuses you, ask him, Pastor, what did you mean? I appreciate the brother that came up to me. Gentle spirit. Pastor, what did you mean? Because how many times do you sit there and go, one, a lot of times people ask, were you talking to me? No. God might have been. It might be your name at the top of your notes in front of you. Pastor, what did you mean by this? Let me clarify. I can't do everything in 35 to 45 minutes and do it all perfect and get it all in. My words can confuse. If that happens, ask me. And the last one, when you are arguing in your head, anybody ever do that? Have arguments with people in your head? No, just me. When you are arguing in your head, bless them in your head. Bless you. When you are arguing in your head, bless them in your head. That person that you just, anytime a grr thought comes in, flip it around, pray for them and bless them in your head. Over and over again, your heart will begin to change. So, conclusion. I told you it was Thursday that I was going back and forth. What am I going to do this week, God? With the message. And something happened that kind of made me settle on, yeah, we need to talk about the venom, the poison, the gossip, and what it is, what it looks like. And I took a little picture here. You can put it up. And this is what occurred on Thursday. So we have a closet here in Grace Community Church, otherwise called the office. It's about yay big. Okay, it's a tiny little thing. I'm really excited for the expansion, because I might have an office. And so I'm in the office, you know, pretty much every day of the week, and the door will open, and a lot of times Kira will come in. Kira has a flexible schedule, because she's got another job, days and nights and stuff like that, and so she comes in when she can. And she comes in, she does her work. But when she comes in, I'm getting relocated, because her computer and all her stuff is in that same office. We share an office, technically. So when she comes in, I have to move to the kitchenette or some other place or go home, whatever it is. And so on Thursday, she came in, and she brought me a peace offering. She brought me a McDonald's apple pie, and it was still warm. Apparently, they gave her an extra one, and so she blessed me. It was a nice, good peace offering, which I appreciate. And so I set it on the table next to my computer as I was going through the sermon, and it was right next to the snack that I brought, an apple. They're the same thing. Apple pie. And this is gossip. This is the lie we tell ourselves. We have a little bit of information, and I really feel like it would be helpful if I share this little nugget with Dave, because then he'll be more informed with the truth, and he can make wiser and better decisions if I let him know about such and such and what they did. No, that's called an apple pie. That is called a dainty morsel. And it is not the same as fruit. You see, God has given you fruitful words. And it is pure and it is good. It is good for you. It's even good for others. When you into that apple, everyone's mouth waters. I should have done that. Because that is the fruit of words that God wants you to speak and have. And yet there's a little whisper in your ear. And that's the enemy and says, well, this is apple as well. It's the same thing. Actually, it's better. It's got brown sugar, flaky crust.
I should do a McDonald's commercial.
It's got spices and seasoning, and it's warm. That is the lie of the enemy. And before you are dainty morsels are apple pies everywhere. And so sitting in front of me is my apple and my apple pie. And what commentary by Wiersbe am I reading? Can you see the title? Be mature. Grow up. When are you going to start listening like a mature Christian and recognize these are lies, this is deceit, these are half-truths, this is gossip, and it is poison that is destroying my heart and my family and my relationships? When are you going to grow up? When are you going to finally turn on your ears and listen not only to what other people are saying, but what's coming out of your mouth? Because it is filth, it is destroying, it is killing. Sorry, deer hunters, I'm getting a little fired up. When are you going to grow up? Because it's not the same. And God is asking you to be mature. And that requires a diet change. That requires taking that trash and throwing it out, not going to that source. Sorry, McDonald's, you might not have people showing up now. Change your diet. Grow up. Change your language. Get rid of the filth. But it comes from the source, which is the living word. This is the fountain. This is the tree. And if this is where you get your words, it will bring life to you. Some people say, Pastor, all these bad things have been happening. And I like to rewind and go back to, well, what did you eat at the beginning? Was it an apple or an apple pie? Because there's a pretty good chance you grabbed on to something that you shouldn't have. And now you're paying the price. Church, grow up. Change your language. It will restore your soul. It will restore your marriages. It will restore your family. It will restore Thanksgiving this week if we speak what God wants us to speak. Let's pray. I say it, I believe every week, Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for your scriptures that we blitzed around to a bunch of different books, bunch of different verses, and they all point to the same thing. Lord, we're going for the sweet, dainty morsels. And we're licking our wounds and injecting poison. Lord, that's our nature. But if we could just stop and say, God, what do you want to say? Lord, I think even more mature than that is even today, praying and thinking about Thursday. God, you know such and such is going to be at this meal. Prepare my heart. What do you want me to say? Lord, we can get a head start by consuming your word and your thoughts and your words spoken. Lord, we can get a head start by singing at the top of our lungs worship songs all week long. And on Thursday when we get there, we love on them, we hug on them, and we bless them. We allow you to speak. Lord, then the healing begins, first in our heart and then in theirs. Lord, we need to be strengthened. We need the right diet of your truth. So, Father, speak to our hearts. Challenge us. Let us stop being the source of gossip, and let us stop going to sources of gossip, but speaking truth and loving and blessing and forgiving. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.